Welcome to WordPress Tavern's Industry Night, where you get to pull up a chair and listen in on a conversation about plugins from the people who made them. Hello, everyone. This is Marcus Couch. Welcome to Industry Night number 6. Tonight, we're talking with John Overall. John is not only an expert in plugin and site development, but he specializes in emergency WordPress support for those times when things break down and need to be fixed fast. So pull up a chair, grab a cold one, and join me in some WordPress shop talk with my friend John Overall. So you do a lot of support stuff for people too. Emergency support is your biggest thing, I think, right? One of your biggest?
My biggest business right now is emergency support, yes. Okay. I average one, actually lately I've been averaging 3 to 7 phone calls a week or emails. Jeez. And a lot of them are small, little problems, but one of my biggest problems I've had lately, and it seems like there's a rash of it, is clients that are being held hostage by their developers. In other words, they're having problems with the developer, and they realize that they want to leave that developer, and the developer is going, hey, no, man, you can't leave me. You need to pay me more money. No, we've already agreed on the payment to you. I've already been paid for work up to this point. And they're going, well, no, no, no. And I had one client that he was trying to just get his domain from the guy, and the guy charged him $400 to get his domain back.
As far as just like, hey, we need to, it's the transfer fee, or?
Well, I don't know what the developer told the guy. All I know is we were trying to, the client didn't have control of his domains. His developer had registered them for him.
And so problem one, right there.
Problem one, yes. Never let your developer register your domain. If you're gonna let him register, you sit down with your developer or on the phone with him and walk through the registration process so that you have access to the account. And that was the problem. He didn't have access to the account, so we set him up a new account to own his domains, and we started a transfer process. And we were just trying to get the transfer key from the old developer. And that was when the developer held him hostage and said, "Hey, no, you got to pay me $400." For I'll give you that transfer key.
Wow.
But it wasn't like he owed the guy. He didn't owe the guy any money. He had already paid it.
He just needed $400.
And the guy just wanted $400 to release the domain name. Which,
okay.
You know, to me is a bit weaselly. The guy will eventually, he'll eventually kill his own business with practices like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think I might start the new, hey, would you like me to register a domain for you service?
Well, what I do for my clients when they do that is I have a GoDaddy Wild West domain reseller system. And so I set them up because sometimes it's convoluted for many users. I understand that. But what I do is I set them up an account. I email them all of the login information for that account, and I make sure the account is 100% in their name. And the reason I have them do it is because, well, I'm not putting my credit card on it. I make them put their credit card on it so that they pay the bill. That way it's out of my hair, and if I get hit by a bus tomorrow or they decide they don't like me for whatever reason, they don't have to come to me and say, hey, I need my domain. It's like I had a few come to me and say, hey, I need my domain. I said, no, you own that. Here's your information that I gave you a long time ago. Have fun.
Yeah, and you as a site developer too, there are ways even in GoDaddy to be an administrator for a particular domain so that you can still control the aspects of hosting and all that without having to take full control, and then as the owner of that particular account, they can kill you off as well.
That's right, and that's what I encourage my clients to do, is to make sure that they have the ability that should anything happen, our relationship goes sour, something happens to me, who knows, that at any point in time, they can go in and kill the account that I have access to.
Right.
And they still have their stuff.
Yeah, so as designers out there and developers, that's one of the things that I think, you know, make sure that you have full transparency of the client's property as well. Not just in what you're doing, but in what they have to make sure that they're continually paying the bill and they understand what the expenses are beforehand too. So you don't want to catch them off guard.
Yeah, well, and I think that shows the highest level of professionalism in that aspect. In that you're not trying to control your client and prevent them from ever leaving you, because clients do leave. I mean, I recently had a 12-year client leave me, and it wasn't through to anything major. He just, he was on the other side of the country, and he had managed to make a friend there locally as a developer. He wanted all his stuff local. It's like, I understood. I even helped him through the process of transferring everything to the new developer. The only thing I do when they leave like that is I say, hey, look, you're going to take some of my time. I'm going to charge you a little bit of time for helping through the transfer.
Yeah.
Which is only fair.
I just experienced a client that went away, and the problem is they didn't go away. And the reason is because, not by my doing, by the way, or my choosing, they were in the midst of a redesign of a site, and then all of a sudden they got impatient and wanted to go with some kind of a premium theme that they wanted to mod, and it just, you know, was one of these things where they were never clear in what they want. I probably made the mistake of not explaining scope well enough, and, you know, as far as the timeline that it would take. And so now I've got a zombie client on my hand that doesn't pay, that wants, you know?
Yeah.
And that's my own fault for not spelling that out and for, you know, not communicating that properly. So, you know, feelings are hurt on both sides when that ends, when it ends badly like that. And then especially when they expect you to, you know, still work for them for free. I don't know, but there are definitely some things that need to be said when it comes to WordPress development and our own communication. And I think that as a community, we should probably maybe huddle together and find common ground as far as, you know, these are the things that you should be doing for client, and they typically take X, Y, and Z money, and maybe some standards. I don't know.
Well, it's kind of hard, I would think, to put standards out because it's so variable. It's like I'll take on average one project every week or two, a new project. Mm-hmm. And the new projects, sometimes the projects will be as simple as 2 to 3 hours of just setting up the basic setup of the system, minor modifications, and a little bit of layout. But some projects will be, well, we need new headers, we need the CSS colors changed, we need some custom programming in here, we need numerous customizations. So it's so hard to have a standard layout because everything is so variable in WordPress.
Yeah, you're right.
The one thing I know in WordPress is people think, oh, it's free, but the program's free, but the time involved in setting it up is free. It's kind of like I do a monthly presentation here in Victoria for a WordPress meetup group, and I actually had somebody walk out of my meetup one time arguing with me. It's the only time I've ever had somebody walk out. It was actually quite amusing. But the reason she walked out was she asked me what it would cost to set up a WordPress site, basically. And I looked and said, well, I generally charge, you know, $150, a couple hours of my time. And she said, what, for 5 minutes worth of time? I said, well, it's 5 minutes to install WordPress, but you don't have anything at that point. You know, you don't have any plugins installed. You don't have anything configured. People think, well, it only takes 10 minutes. Well, sure, it takes 10 minutes to set up one plugin. Now you add another 10 for two. On average, a WordPress site takes 7 plugins. That's 70 minutes.
Right.
That's not, you know, that's over an hour right there.
That's
so
right.
It's like people don't think, oh, it's only 10 minutes. Well, yeah, 10-minute chunks, but those 10-minute chunks add up to time real quick.
Right.
And that's the problem. People don't see the whole picture.
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain that, and she got all upset and ended up walking out. What was really interesting was the rest of my audience, about 30 or 40 people in there, started defending me to her. So I just sat back and watched. It was really kind of fun.
Yeah, that's and not only just setting up WordPress, but in the case of this particular client, you know, they went to Theme Forest, picked out a $60 theme that they made me buy, and then were gawking at the fact that they were required to pay a couple grand to me to customize it the way that they needed it. Well, sorry, but you've got, like, you know, 600 or, you know, 400 variables as far as countries and custom post types and things like that. It's like, yeah, you know, it takes days and days and days just to do one little part of it. So, you know, it's definitely a slippery slope when dealing with clients and WordPress, especially when they see small little price tags or free, and then associating the talent that it requires and the technical hurdles to get a lot of those projects accomplished.
I think that's the communication issue with WordPress, is the fact that people think, oh, it's free. You just throw it together and it works. it's not always that straightforward and simple. I mean, sure, if you want a blog and that's all you want, you can have it up and running in 10 minutes and go.
Yeah. And you should, by the way. I mean, yeah. For those of you out there that just want WordPress, just basic WordPress with a simple theme and you know, do your site and your theme as something that's a work in progress, by all means, do it and start creating content and don't wait till you have the theme first.
Yeah. Yeah, do that. I mean, the 2014 theme is actually pretty. I like that one.
Yeah.
That's probably the best theme WordPress has released, in my opinion.
I agree with that. Absolutely.
So that one there's a great one if you just want to throw together a blog and do a work in progress and find your way through the WordPress labyrinth.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're looking for a professional business, like I've got a client coming to me for a e-commerce store because they looked at my recent e-commerce store for my e-smoke business and went, hey, that's a fantastic store. What did that cost you to do? Well, I did it myself, but if I had done it for somebody, I would have priced it at $5,000.
Yeah, easily.
To do the site because it was a lot of work, a lot of customization, a lot of tweaking through it, and also the fact that people don't think about the fact that the e-commerce store I use, which is WooCommerce, well, yeah, the basic store is free, but if you want some real functionality, you got to pay some money to WooThese or one of the other developers out there.
Yeah, one of my clients just did $7 million last year in e-commerce based on WordPress stuff that we've set up.
Yeah, well,
and this is the same guy that with a golfed. What? You're going to charge me for setting that up? Yeah, and you're going to love it once I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a basic client setup, what are the top 3 to 5 plugins you always stick in there?
Anti-Spam B I put in because it's a very excellent anti-spam plugin that has no licensing attached to it, aside from being pure open source. And it does a fantastic job. I know my website personally, which gets somewhere around 1,200 visitors a day, I get 1 to 3 spam emails slip through in a week.
I get the same. Yeah.
And that's fantastic because I know that it's probably being pounded with spam.
Yeah. Okay.
Then I add Count Per Day, and Count Per Day is an excellent plugin for the user to be able to see some traffic on the inside of their website without the headache of involved of setting up Google Analytics and everything else, because a lot of them don't want to go through that initially. Right. They just need something. Then I add the DB Cache Reloaded Fix, because it's the only caching plugin I have found that actually works and doesn't interfere with anything else. And then I've got a couple of Genesis-specific plugins that I use when I'm doing development because I tend to develop in Genesis themes.
So what do you use, short hooks?
I use Genesis Simple Hooks, Genesis Simple Edits, and Genesis Tabs because they are useful plugins.
Yeah, definitely.
Then, of course, Gravity Forms, because I have a developer's license, I put Gravity Forms in everything I develop.
Yeah, Gravity Forms, I got to say, I used Gravity Forms for something this week that I used strictly for their conditional logic, and then I had to find a way to try and hide the button for the submit, and I couldn't do it, so I just ended up making it as 1x1 clear pixel and hiding it. But it worked fantastic for that.
Yeah, it's fantastic plugin. Then I use iRobot's text to make sure a robot text file is inserted into the website. And then I use the SEO automatic links to help build internal linking. And I use Shareaholic now as the social sharing plugin because they finally improved to the point where it's very good. And it also, Shareaholic also adds in the related posts. So I was able to terminate one plugin I used to always use.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then I use, of course, WordPress SEO by Yoast. And the only other plugin that gets added is through development called WP Maintenance Mode. And that's only used during development to lock the site down from outsiders until it's developed.
Hmm.
But those are the essential plugins. And from there, it can grow. It's like,
well, can it's not, it ever? Jeez.
Not uncommon for me to have a website to end up with 20 or 30 plugins, sometimes as high as 70 plugins, depending on what the client wants to do with their website.
And I know you are a lot like me in the sense that we use a particular plugin to manage all of our installations across.
Yes, CMS Commander.
Yeah, yeah. I love CMS Commander.
It is great. They did break it recently, which rather annoyed me, but they fixed it pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. But if a client hires me after it's done to do their management of their website, keep it up to date, and maintain it, I will add CMS Commander in so I can manage and monitor their website.
And CMS Commander's cool, too, from anybody who does a management perspective, because you can white label it to the name of your company if you want to.
You can.
And it's pretty cool like that. And for those of you kind of unfamiliar, what you can do is basically just load up. It depends on your account and how many websites you want to have associated with it, but I have 100.
Yeah, that's what I've got.
I load in 100 different WordPress installations into it. Mostly they're clients. You get to group them together so that if a client has maybe 50 sites, you can click on the one thing and then control all of them. Mm-hmm. With one click, you can update themes and plugins and even add content right to the different sites right through the dashboard. So,
yep.
John, I have found it to be a pretty good tool. You can go look on our sites and find a little bit more info about that if you want to.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I do like it. But that's the essentials.
Yeah.
And then from there, it's always, what do you want to do? Do you need an event calendar? Do you need, do you need an e-commerce store? Do you need it to do whatever trick you want your website to do? I mean, WordPress is so versatile. It's like, I've been doing web design since the late 90s. In the beginning, everything I do with WordPress now, I used to combine 6 or 7 or 8 different PHP programs together, and then I would convolutedly call them in with different PHP calls, and the nightmare involved, not to mention the nightmare involved in managing and maintaining all these different programs for a client's website.
Yeah. So what are the two, you give your two, I'll give my two, the two, like, most breakthrough things you've seen, even, with WordPress, just like in the last month?
In the last month? Oh, that's a tough one. I'll have to think on that.
I'll start it off, okay? Yeah. AppPressor, the thing that makes apps from WordPress. Huge. Paradigm shift. Going to be monstrous with WordPress, yes, as far as our ability to stretch into whole new platforms. All right, what do you got?
I still got nothing in the last month. I've been doing basic development in the last month.
Yeah?
Trying to think. WordPress 3.8 has made a major leap in their own internal speed.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the one thing I can say has been fantastic.
Yeah. I think maybe we'll flip this on its head and make it a prediction of the next couple months. I think you're going to see this year, you're definitely going to see a lot more connections from WordPress outward. You're going to see things like Facebook and YouTube and Twitter getting content that gets pushed from a WordPress site rather than the other way around.
Yes, that I do see is coming. Along with, as you said, more apps, people using WordPress as the base to create complete applications.
Yeah. Another thing that I've seen lately is Aesop Story, which is kind of a storybook way to present with WordPress. But we've all seen it through, like the New York Times does it and such, where you scroll and it kind of gives you a weird background, and then the background moves upward, and then a white content area comes up above it, and then, it might fade the background into something else. That's a new plugin called Aesop Story, actually, for WordPress. And a lot of my colleagues over at WP Tavern are talking about it because it's a great story piece. But I'm looking at it going, oh my God, do you know the business presentations I can make with this thing?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody but me is talking about that. So I think one of the new things that I see coming in the next 6 months is the ability to get away from things like SlideShare.
And, yes.
If we could make WordPress into WebEx or something like that, where people could just kind of log in as a user, and somehow we could get an embed thing to share a browser or a screen, then goodbye WebEx, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because it has all the internal capabilities, right? We have users. We have a chat room we could put on the sidebar. We have You name it. We can embed anything. So you could even do it with Google Hangouts if you really wanted to. So I would love to see WordPress take out other technologies like that.
Well, it's going to as it grows and evolves. I mean, look at it evolve. Like, I've been involved with WordPress since 2.7.
Mm-hmm.
And the evolution it's made since that point there has been dramatic. I mean, I used to actually have to teach, you know, 2-day courses to people on how to use WordPress. Now I can teach them how to use their site in under a couple hours.
Yeah. I've even seen YouTube videos that are like an hour and 10 minutes, learn everything about WordPress, and I actually go through it, and they really do. They're really showing you everything. It's really nice.
It's evolved to the point where it's become very, very simple and straightforward to use.
Yes, but yet ever so complicated with more and more stuff.
Well, that's the problem. The simplicity is very hard to do. People don't understand that simplicity is the hardest thing you'll ever do.
That's true.
It's like, ask somebody to design a simple logo and watch how long it takes.
I'm still working on one 5 years later right now. That's funny.
That's why some of the most famous logos out there, including Nike's, AT&T's, they cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to create. You look at it, they paid what for that?
And say, yeah.
You have no idea how long it took to design that.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, John, we'll let the folks at home know where they can find you.
Well, they can reach me on my website at johnoverall.com, or you can drop me an email, john@wppro.ca.
All right. Thanks for joining me, John.
All right. Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.